Lord, the scripture tells us that we can lift our hearts with our hands, and we do this evening. We lift our hearts to you. As we've just sung, we lift our hearts before you as a token of our love. What more can we give you? What more have you asked for than our hearts? Just our hearts. And thank you, Lord, for taking our hearts and making something out of them. Thank you for taking our hearts and using our hearts to beat akin with one another. And I pray that the heart level of our church would rise and rise and rise as our heart beats in sympathy with one another, with joys and sorrows, gladness, hardships, aches and pains, births and deaths. Thank you for the heart relationships that we can have, but most of all, thank you for the heart that was broken on Calvary so that we could get a new heart. And Father, you're asking us today not so much for sacrifices, but you're asking for a contrite heart that is broken. And may our heart be broken over the things that break your heart. Now I pray your blessing upon our study this evening, that you would, as we open the Word of God, by your Holy Spirit's ministry, allow the words to leap from the page, and in the case of each person individually, they would see brand new things this evening in this study, that they would be blessed, and then they would become a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Once upon a time, as we read in Acts chapter 21, and you can turn there if you like, there were four daughters. Sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? Acts chapter 21, verse 9, tonight on the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. Acts 21, verse 9. The context is that Philip had gone to Caesarea. He entered a house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and he stayed with him for a while. Now, verse 9, the same man had four daughters who were virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now we're going to come back to this verse that we're not going to read, which is verse 11, but to start off the study, I want you to see just in these two verses, verse 9 and verse 10, two special, distinct groups of people. We find four daughters that prophesied, but they were not called prophets. The next verse says, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Now, the purpose of our study tonight is to educate us, to equip us with the Word of God, to show us the difference between prophecy and the office of the prophet, because they need not be the same. And to try to get us to understand that as we are part of the body, all of you, and many of you having received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then the gifts of the Holy Spirit should be in operation within our group. Now, if you want to follow with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we find here a list of the gifts that are called spiritual gifts, offices, that should be operating in New Testament church. These gifts are beginning to operate with a certain amount of expectancy and a certain amount of speed that we haven't had before. And I guess the big giant step that we at the community church have taken is that we have taken from small group meetings in the city, the Christian Center, midweek, hour when we were doing things of the Spirit. We have moved the things of the Spirit, and even from an evening service, to the morning service. And this is one thing that has caused a great deal of controversy, but we've taken the step, we've paid the price, and we are moving into a New Testament church. Now, there are many, many churches who go under the names of many brand names that are operating in the Spirit. But I know of very few that have moved it to the main service. Those that have developed a kind of a service that is a great blessing to the community and to people who would drive miles and miles to be part of that service. So we have taken the step, we feel the Lord's led us, to move into the morning worship service, which we have done. Now, as we have done this, we're going to see operating 9 gifts, and they're listed in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We can begin with verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of those tongues. And if you add all those up, you come up to 9. Now, they are grouped in 3 different categories. You can jot this in your mind. They are gifts of revelation, they are gifts of power, and they are gifts of utterances. Now, tonight's study has to do with the gifts of utterances. That is 2 of those gifts. The gifts of revelation would be the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The gift of power would be the gift of faith, the gift of healings, and the working of miracles. And the gifts of utterance would be the gift of prophecy, would be the office of the prophet, the gift of prophecy, and would be tongues and the interpretation of tongues, making 9 in all. So there is a difference between prophesying and the role of a prophet. And back to Acts 21, verse 9, we see that difference portrayed very clearly. There were 4 daughters who prophesied, but they were not called prophetesses. Agabus, who came down, was a prophet. First of all, we take the gift of prophecy. Now, just if I had to give you in just one word or two a thumbnail definition of the word of prophecy, what this means, it's simply this. It is a supernatural utterance by God through you, for example, to us in the body. And it is in a known tongue. It is in a known tongue. Now, we've seen this and we've heard this in our church from various people who have visited us on occasions and from some of the people within our own congregation. What they're doing, they're speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And they're speaking in a known tongue that we understand. They're using their mouth, but they're speaking under the influence of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. He that prophesies speaketh unto men to do 3 things. Now, these 3 things are very important. They will be in every prophecy that you hear uttered, that is under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Again, 1 Corinthians 14, 3. He that prophesies speaketh unto men. Now, that makes sense. But now the reasons are, 1, edification, 2, exhortation, and 3, comfort. So the word of prophecy, which comes to us and could come to you, because oftentimes when people first come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord does this. He does give them the gift of prophecy, maybe only once, maybe twice, maybe more times. But it is to edify, it is to exhort, and it is to comfort. Now, edify means to build up and strengthen. Exhortation means to admonish and teach. And comfort means to encourage. And every prophecy that I have heard in this church from at least 5 different people that I can recall who have done this in our church body have been in these categories. They have either built us up and strengthened us, or they have admonished us to do something that we're not doing, or they have taught us something, or they have encouraged us. Now notice this, there is no mention of prediction. No mention of prediction in prophecy. It is for edification, exaltation, and comfort, the scripture says right here. There is no word about things that are going to happen in the future. This comes through the role of the office of the prophet, not the person who is prophesying. So, just to back up, 1 Corinthians 14:3 says what happens when we receive prophecy and the three categories of prophecy and what they're supposed to do. Just to mention something about the life of the prophet, can we bow and pray? I've got a bursting headache. Let's bow and pray, would you please? Raymond, would you pray for me?
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we ask you, let your healing be on a minister's headache. Let you minister to that headache this kind. Explain the healing and praise you, Lord. And this is from Satan, we take authority over it. We find Satan a headache, inflicting any more pain. We rebuke you in the Lord's name, Jesus Christ, for the shed of blood is coming against you. Satan has been stand when we bind you by that blood. You are in bondage now. Lord,
Jesus, I praise Jesus. I accept this healing right now in the name of Jesus.
With healing. Let your Holy Spirit minister to us. We praise you for all things. We give you the glory of victory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. I accept that healing. I accept that in the name of Jesus. My body is a temple of the Lord, and there is no place for this. I accept that. In the life of a prophet, there is always operating in that person's life two of the three gifts listed that we haven't even talked about. One is the gift of the word of wisdom or the gift of knowledge. And just inevitably, every time a prophet speaks or in the ministry of a prophet or a prophetess, there is an operation, not only the prediction, but there is the other gifts operating, at least two of these other gifts operating. And in the case of Nancy in particular, these gifts are in operation. The Lord is giving her words of wisdom or words of knowledge. Now, what's the difference? I'll tell you. A word of wisdom has to do with future. A word of knowledge has to do with the past or present. So the word of wisdom has to do with the future. The word of knowledge has to do with the present or the past. And the way I remember that is that W is farther down the alphabet than K. K for knowledge and W for wisdom. Wisdom is all the way down into the future, and the K is right what I'm standing on or back behind me. So those that may help you. So in the life of the prophet, other gifts are in operation, past or present or future. Now, prophecy is not the vehicle for prediction. We mentioned something about that, but let's just go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Mm-hmm. Chapter 15, verse 1 through 7. And I'm sure you've read that already. Verse 8 is the one. A prophecy of a man by the name of Obed, who was a prophet. He took courage, put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And this is just a story in 2 Chronicles that talks about what one prophet did. Back to chapter 14, which we should have read first, verse 2 and 3, tells about what a person did. Asa had a very good reign. And yet, as we read the chapter, we find that there was a time when they needed the word of God, and so the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, chapter 15, verse 1, who was the son of Obed, and he went out to Asa, and he said, "The Lord is with you while ye be with him, and if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you." And so here is the word of a prophet who is speaking prophetically of what is going to happen in the future. Now, the gift of prophecy is what we were starting off on. We sort of got sidetracked. The gift of prophecy, there's so many little incidents, but if you want to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Here we have a young lady under the anointing of the Holy Spirit giving a word of prophecy. Her name, well, we read, "It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." So here we find somebody who is prophesying right there. In 1 Timothy, if you want to turn over to that little book, we'll read in chapter 1, verse 6. An admonition to Timothy, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by putting on of my hands," and elsewhere translated the gift of prophecy that he had. I don't know if you've ever had this feeling that you have the word that you should say. I know that sometimes people in our church have had this and they haven't said anything because they were reluctant to do it. They thought, maybe I'm just the one that does it. But may I say to you that if you feel the Spirit coming upon you that you have to prophesy, you will not have the whole sentence. You'll probably just have two or three words. That's all the Lord's going to give you. But if you know in your heart that those are not your words, Satan will probably tell you that they are your words. But if you can rebuke him, and if you know they're God's words, then you should speak out those three in faith. And then, if they're from God, he will supply word 4, 5, and 6 and the rest of the words along the way. So speak them out if you can. Numbers 23:5 says, "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" That's a good verse to remember. "Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth?" Bearing in mind that always when you hear prophecy, it's going to glorify Jesus. It's always going to glorify Jesus and never turn attention to the person, but it's going to be always pointing to Jesus. That's one of the advantages of having a divided chancel, where you have a pulpit on one side and a lectern on the other side, and the altar and the cross in the back. You know, the preached word and the words from the lectern just draw people into right up to the altar and gives attention to God, what the altar represents. So to conclude the gift of prophecy, in the gift of prophecy, if it's in line with 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, it's a great blessing to the church today. It is a divine utterance in a known tongue giving forth God's message to a people today. Now, that's prophecy. Let's pause and ask, is there any question you'd like to ask or a comment you'd like to make which would help us? And don't feel it's...
How do you discern, you know, first of all, I get a couple of words, you know. I know it's not Bible. And I get a couple words, even here in church or someplace, but I know it's me that's been getting somehow that mind goes to a blank from anything else.
Okay.
I know that's not prophecy.
All right. Okay. A lot of times people feel like, say, I sure would like to tell the world something about Jesus. Or their mind, they are impressed, and they say, gosh, I wish I could be a preacher, a pastor, I could proclaim God's word. Or maybe a certain burden comes upon you for someone or something or the church as a whole, and you feel that burden, and you'd like to stand up and proclaim that. Okay, that is not prophecy. That is just something that you would like to present to the people. But prophecy is that unction that comes from the Holy Spirit, and like you say, you know it wasn't of God. And you ask the question, how can you know? I can only speak from very limited experience with me, and then from others that I've spoken to. There is a pulsation within your heart. There is this pulsation, and you just know that it is the Lord's heart in your heart pulsating out.
Is it like when you're speaking your prayer language?
Do what?
Is it like when you're speaking your prayer language, you know in your heart that it's not you that's talking? Coming out.
Yes, that would be faith. You know that.
And even like lots of times I'll hear the Lord talking to me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like sitting in the bathroom, I just come out, you know. I know that's not for me. Is that how the feeling you would get?
Well, I would think so. I think so. And then, of course, if you speak out in church and you're not speaking God's word and you are speaking of yourself, when I have heard this happen, and there have been several times, especially in another church. In fact, I've never felt it in this church. But in another church, I really felt that what one person was saying was not of the Lord at all. But what the person said did no damage. Most of it was scripture anyway. And it was upbuilding, and it edified that group. And so there was nothing wrong with it. But for that to be classified as prophecy, which it was by somebody, I really didn't feel it was. I went to the pastor afterwards and I said, you know, in regard to that one person that was prophesying, I really didn't feel that was from the Lord. And he said, I did not either. He said, I did not feel that was from the Lord at all. But he said nothing because there was no damage done. Had it been something that I would foresee could have caused some damage, then I would have corrected my brother in public. To answer your question, nobody can answer that for you. It's just something that you know in your heart. Mike?
How about timing? Like, I believe that there's probably, God has a perfect order for everything, and I would imagine that one time or another it wouldn't be the best time. Like, say, while communion is being served and you're saying a prayer, somebody stands up and battles off with the prophecy, even though it could be from the Lord, maybe that person has not picked the best time to give the word.
Okay, the question is, what about timing? Somebody asked me a long time ago, if they were in the 10:45 service and they had a word from the Lord, would I give them the liberty to speak that word, or do they have to wait until nighttime when we have a service similar to this where they can speak God's word? And at that point in my life, I said, you got to wait until nighttime. Now my answer to that is different. Now the church structure is such that we give people opportunity if they want to during that time of ministering. And to people who have in the past had these experiences and who have exercised them, I think most all of them have talked to me, and they've said, when can we do it? Well, a good time would be during that time of ministry. But I would not exclude it at all. I would not exclude it. I would think that if the Spirit of the Lord came upon you and you knew that it was of the Lord, I would say that this pastor would know it too. And if you stood up in the middle of any type, kind of timing of the service or lifted your hand, I would respond by saying, let's stop, or would you hold it off, you know?
It's just that I was sort of instructed that there is a definite time when if it's not appropriate that you should be corrected and say, you know, well, that's real great if you save it for later or
right.
And there was some situations where also the pastor would decide, he would, I guess the Lord would tell him, or he would just know if it was in actuality a prophecy, or if the guy mm-hmm. was just kind of emotionally built up and just let out with something. Mm-hmm. And he would say, since this, you know, like he had criteria, this and this and this and this equals a prophecy, and if those are in there, then, you know, that was really great, brother, but it wasn't a prophecy.
Yeah. This rebuking in public is something that's right on for church order, and yet it's just it's going to be a growing pain for us as we move into that. I've had pastors interrupted because of prophecy, and they have just flatly told the man who was trying to give the prophecy, would you please hold it? And the man kept on talking. He said, brother, I'm asking you to please hold that. This is not the time for it. And so finally the man was quieted down. Let's go into the office of the prophet. There's not too much to say about that, but yet to go back to the God book, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. That refers to each one of you right now at this Vesper service at Community Church. You are in the body, you are members in particular. And God hath set some in the church. First, he has set apostles. Second, he has set prophets. Third, he has set teachers. After that, miracles. And then the gifts of healing, help, government, diversity of tongues. He says, are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Question mark. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way, and that is, of course, is 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Love is the bottom line, and it's the top line. But the scripture says in verse 28, God has set in the church prophets. He has set in the church prophets. Now in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manadon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. I'll read this verse only to say one thing, that every time the word prophet is used with the word teacher, the word prophet takes the precedence. It is they were prophets first, and then they were teachers secondly. Always mentioned first. The prophet, I guess Jeremiah is a good example, and he's a favorite guy of mine in the Old Testament. In chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verse 9, you see he's been arguing with the Lord, saying that I can't speak, I'm a child, and that word child is used, it's a Hebrew word meaning from age 21 to birth, or birth to 21, and so he was a young guy. The Lord said to him, don't you say that I'm a child, for you will go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And then verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put whose words? My words in your mouth. So here's the role of the prophet. He didn't want to do it. He was afraid to do it. But the Lord said, don't be afraid. I'm going to do this. And then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said, I put my words in your mouth. That's what the prophet is. It is one who is speaking God's words. They are not his words or her words or anybody else's words, but they're God's words. So Numbers 23:5 again, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord puts in my mouth as a prophet? Now, a prophet is one who sees and knows things supernaturally because they have operating in their gifts, operating in their life, these gifts of knowledge or of the gift of wisdom. And to be a prophet, first of all, it is a ministry that God lays upon the woman or upon the man. People don't choose it. Now, it's very strange, and regarding to Nancy, I was not the first one, nor did I for a long time even refer to her as a prophetess. But it came from other people, not even in this church, who perceived this. And she played it down because she doesn't like this. But the interesting thing is, I prayed for her to receive this for over 2 years. I just felt that of all the people, I just said, Lord, give this gift to Nancy. And doggone, he did it. So now I'm praying he'll do it to me too. And he'll do it to you folks too. But he has done this. And I feel that she has been raised up in this office. And with this office comes this word of knowledge. Has to do with the past or present. And the word of wisdom with the future. You know, a pastor who has this gift is preaching along and he sees people in the congregation and he can just see somebody and then in his mind, God gives him the gift of knowledge, which is to say, he sees that person last week doing something in another city. And so after the service, he goes to that person and he confronts him with that. You know, I think you need to confess this sin, or you need to do this or that or be honest or whatever it might be. And the person says, you know, you can go to you know where and forget it. But then the prophet starts exercising the gift of knowledge to the man, and the man knows without a shadow of a doubt there's only two people that knew where he was and what he was doing, himself and God, and God had revealed it to the prophet. And so the prophet has gone to the man to try to get the man to get right with the relationship to God. So this role works with the prophet. And what I'm saying is that with the prophetic ministry, which it is, there is an operation, these other gifts, the gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge. Now, any person like you or like me can at any time have the gift of knowledge or the gift of wisdom. It just can be given to you according to God, because he's the giver of the gifts. And the Bible says that we are to covet prophecy. We are to covet prophecy. Remember 1 Corinthians 14:3, the gift of prophecy is not given for revelation. That is the prophet's ministry. The utterance that he gives is prophetic. Now, a person can prophesy, like you prophesy, for example. That doesn't make you a prophetess. You have just prophesied. You've exercised the gift of prophecy. So there is the gift of prophecy and there's the office of the prophet. They're two separate, and yet they can work together. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, Saul went to a prophet to inquire about his father's donkey. Now, I'm sure there must have been 100,000 lost donkeys in the hillside, Palestine. But the Lord spoke through his prophet and told him exactly where the donkey was. And again, this was revealed to him. A prophet is a ministry, or a prophetess is a ministry, and there's persecution with it, and nearly all the prophets in the Old Testament suffered a great deal of persecution, and it's no exception with Nancy, nor is it any exception with some of the other prophets or prophetesses that I know other places that are operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. A great deal of persecution, and it's just one of those things. Jesus was a prophet, and he had a lot of persecution too.
Neil, are there very many women prophets in the Bible? I mean, you know, you look at now, I mean, I may have just simply overlooked it.
Yeah.
But you look at women speaking out in church and you get kind of a grumble about it.
Right.
And there have been times when women have felt the Lord leading them to do something and have withheld doing so because they felt a man present in the church.
That's quite true.
To give utterance to it or whatever.
That's quite true.
And you look at the women evangelists and stuff, they're there and faith healers and all. I mean, they're there, but how come you don't hear so much about that in the Bible? It's always the men's side of it that you always pick up as the strong.
The Bible does give us examples of ladies who operated in the ministry of a prophet, and actually, the only one that comes to my mind now is Deborah. She was called a prophetess in the scripture. And maybe somebody can think of somebody.
Hannah.
Okay. Referred to as a prophetess. So the Bible does give us that guideline that way. A lot of times ladies in churches do not speak out for that very same reason, you know. But I want you ladies to know that, especially everyone that's here tonight, I think I know you well enough to say that I believe that you respect this pastor, his headship over the church, and the men that are here tonight as elders of our church. You have our covering, and so feel free to speak out when you feel anointed that way, because you do have our covering as, I mean, you're not, you, how else can I say it? You have our covering, right? When a person operates in the gift, who has who is in the ministry of a prophet or a prophetess, they've got to speak the word, or they get into a lot of trouble. And I'm thinking of a man right now who had the gift, who was a prophet, but he also had working with him, as always is the case, you know, several of these gifts of the Spirit. He had the gift of wisdom. He went to visit a pastor who was engaged in a new building program. He had just finished the program, just about finishing the building program. He was standing out by his car looking at the construction workers finishing it all up. And the Lord's Spirit came upon this prophet, who happened to be a pastor too. And the Lord told him, you've got to go to that pastor that you've just now left, and you've got to tell him that he's going to die in 3 years unless he changes three things. He changes his diet, he changes his money habits, and he changes his lack of love for the brethren. Well, that's pretty heavy. Well, he had to be obedient. He didn't want to be, so he shuffled his feet around. So he decided he'd go over and tell the guy this and probably get knocked down, but he was going to do it. He walked over toward the man. Just at that time, a car drove up between them and stopped. A guy got out, and they started talking, and it obviously interrupted what this pastor was going to do, this prophet pastor. So he never told the man that. And in 3 years, the guy died. So a prophet is under tremendous pressure. And if a prophet gives a message, which we are receiving in our church, and if we don't accept the message, then the judgment is going to come upon us, on the individual. Okay, to wrap this up, let me just go back with you to 1 Corinthians and show you something that's happening in churches today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are a lot of churches, not only Assembly of God, Full Gospel churches, Four Square churches, but they're brand name churches that are operating in the Spirit's realm too, that go along with the gift of prophecy. For example, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, it says, God has said in the church, the prophets and the various gifts. Well, that's not the scripture I wanted to read to you. But nevertheless, let me just say what I was going to say that is backed up with the content of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They go along with tongues and interpretation of tongues, you know, prophecy. They go along with the gift of prophecy by people in the church. And this is good, but they don't continue to read like in verse 28 about the prophets. They shy away from the prophets' ministry. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's in the very same chapter that speaks about the gift of prophecy. But there are churches that shy away from the prophets' ministry, while they will take the first part of the chapter where it talks about the gift of prophecy. So I just feel you should take the whole chapter. If you take part of the chapter, you ought to take all the chapter. Now, let me answer two questions, because I've been asked, what about personal prophecy? Is it scriptural for a person to receive the gift of prophecy and then go to a person and talk to them about it? Or should it be done in the whole congregation where everybody can see and hear? Well, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 21, you'll see a good example of where it was done personally. Acts chapter 21, verse 8, this is the one we started off with. There were four daughters who did prophesy, but there was a man who did the role of the prophet. And he came, he took Paul's girdle, he bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. I have heard that there are churches that don't believe in personal prophecy at all, private or public. They just believe prophecy is for the whole church at large, never personal prophecy. But here is a personal prophecy. He went to Paul, and he bound him, and he told him prophetically what was going to happen, which did. It's in Acts 21, chapter 8, 9, 10, and 11. So, three verses to close. One verse is Matthew chapter 13, verse 57. If the Lord raises any of you up in the role, in the gift of prophecy, or as in the office of the prophet, you will know that you will not be liked by all. And so I read in Matthew 13, verse 57, they were offended. They were offended at him. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And this is true oftentimes when a young guy goes into the ministry. You know, the people in his own hometown or down within the block that he lives, how can that guy be a pastor, you know? So he has no honor in his own country. Jesus had no honor in his own country. He was a prophet. They were offended at what he said, and the prophet was not without honor save in his own country. Okay, to answer your question, what is an apostle? The word means one who is sent out, one who is sent forth, one who is commissioned. And there is a great deal of diversity as to whether or not there are still apostles, or whether the role of the apostle ceased to be after the first century. They were people who had seen Jesus, those people who were called, like the first 12, and then one committed suicide, and there was another one that took his place. The scripture refers to a number of other people as apostles as well. So some people think that the word apostle is to be relegated to the scripture only, recorded word. Others believe that anybody who goes out as a commissioned person, like a missionary, because the word missionary is not even in the Bible, is an apostle. And to tell you the truth, I haven't decided which is which. Right now, I'm inclined to feel that that the apostle is relegated to the past. And that's...
Teacher, then.
Do what?
A teacher. Would that be the minister?
An apostle?
No, a teacher.
A teacher? No, that'd be somebody apart from the apostle.
But I mean, what? Okay, what role are you? Are you a teacher?
No, I'm a pastor. Pastor-teacher. Now, the reason I'm hum-hawing around this is because some lady came to me last week and asked this very same question. And I said, well, as of this moment, and it was, I think, 9:14 in the morning, I believe that apostles are in the history only, that there are no apostles now. I'm more and more inclined to believe, and I'll have to seek her out and tell her so, that I'm beginning to believe that that apostle means anybody who has been commissioned. Like, for example, I have been commissioned, and I have been ordained, and I have been called, which puts me in the rank of an apostle, but I can't go around saying that until I'm really sure.
No, it also says in the Bible about, you know, teacher. It says, do not call anyone teacher, but only one teacher, one rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said that himself.
Right.
And
okay.
Disciple. I thought a disciple was also the one to go out and spread the word.
The difference between a disciple and an apostle, which is another brand new study, is that the disciple, we all are disciples. We have been discipled by Jesus. We've been told to disciple the world. But that is different from a person who has been commissioned by God for a task, like being called into the ministry or a church. Like if you felt called to go to Africa and we sent you as a church, we would commission you to go to the church, or go to Africa. And it would be more than a disciple. It would be just a step farther than a disciple. But I'm sure by next Sunday night, I'm going to have made up my mind about the apostles.
Well, it kind of seems like if you're going to take this at face value, mm-hmm. and that it's as much alive today as it was 2,000 years ago or from then on up, that if this has been put all in place, and it states the places that these people have, mm-hmm. then they're just as much here today. An apostle or a teacher or anything else is just as much here as a prophet is.
Okay, I'm very...
A healer or...
Right, I'm feeling that way very much. But I got to go to this person and tell her first before I tell the congregation.
It's hard, you just not used to say, well, yeah, Jill Blow, there he's an apostle.
Okay, you see, I've been taught otherwise.
Or he's a healer. Or, you know, anything mm-hmm. like that. We're so used to only reading about it instead of living it.
Right.
But if I can accept a prophet, I can certainly accept an apostle or anything
okay.
else.
And again, this is something new to our group. Because my theological training would frown upon this. This is why I want to make sure before I make the statement. And you just picked my brain and made me spill the beans. Okay, Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. And on the photocopy that James is using, it says Joel 12. It's not 12, it's Joel 2.
I know, I figured that out.
Thank you. Would you add to the scripture tonight? Joel 2, verse 28 and 29. It will come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. This was prophetically uttered by Joel. And then if you want to turn and follow away in Acts chapter 2, you'll find in verse 16 and verse 18, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It came to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see your visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The prophet speaks directly to a concrete congregational situation. And today the body of Christ is sharing in the prophetic spirit of Jesus, and I just praise the Lord that is happening. Any question or comment you'd like to make before we go into a different area tonight? With the role of a prophet, there always has to be operating some of these other gifts, and she has been given the gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. Just to give you one example, one day she was given the gift of wisdom that something was going to happen to me that afternoon. She had no way of knowing what my appointments were for that day, and it worked out right on. When I came home, I said, this happened, and she said, this is going to happen. She said, let me share this with you, and it just turned out that it was right on. And that happened, you know, early in the hours in the morning. She gets up early in the morning to be with the Lord for an hour and a half or so while we're still sleeping. And the Lord gave her that, and she wrote it down. So that was the word of wisdom, because it had to do about the future. Any other question? You've been real patient tonight and go through this study. I've tried to hit all bases to answer all the questions that have been asked me in the past or maybe in your minds. Now, you want to read your prophecy? This word came, and she asked if she could present it, and I said, yes, let me read it, and I read it. And I would like for her to share this work. Would you like to share something about the background, before where you were when you got it?
I was in school Friday, the 4th. I was just sitting in the study hall, nothing to do, and just started writing it down. This is what it ended up being. Just think what was going through my son's mind when he was dying on the cross for you. You think you suffered. My son did more suffering than you can think of, and he did it all for you so you can live a sinless life. Though you still doubt the word, Why do you not believe me? I loved you so much, but what do I get in return? Nothing except for love from some people. Why? I am coming soon. It may be too soon for some, but I will come when I come. I love you. Please remember everything I have said. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Okay. And everything she said in the prophecy, except for that future event, does the sum of those three things that the prophecy would do. You know, it edified us. It didn't really encourage us, but it did other things that a prophecy does. So I would not say that was not from the Lord at all. You felt special about the words coming to you, and so she was obedient and wrote them down. I think that's really neat. Praise the Lord. And what she said is scripture, and then it's an admonition to us, you know, why don't you accept my love and whatever. Can what?
Dreams.
Very much so. The question is, can dreams be prophetic? Yes, dreams can be prophetic.
I had a dream one time that went along with Isaiah 54:4-10, and only by chance did Dominic and I find that it went through that verse.
Mm-hmm.
Six verses.
Yeah.
And it fit the dream perfectly.
Is that right? Yes, God can speak to us. That's why it's important for us to share. The other day, Mike Cawley had a vision while I was preaching, and he saw an angel standing beside me with his arms around me, holding me. And he later, maybe 2 weeks later, told me, and I said, that's great, why didn't you tell me earlier? That would have encouraged me. And he said, well, you know, I don't. And so he's having a lot of visions in church. He's seeing things in the Spirit. And so I'm encouraging him to be open to sharing this with us, because this increases our faith as well. And you've had visions, I know.
I see him standing at St. Neil. There's an angel holding you. In the whole place, all apart.
Okay. I'm sure that our study tonight has sparked a lot of questions that might be forthcoming. I encourage you to come to me and ask me the questions. I encourage you to read the scripture. I encourage you to go to the bookstore and check out some books on the subject. But the main thing is, just these two areas that we've mentioned tonight are just part of 9 other gifts that should be flowing within our congregation. And they, praise God, are beginning to do this. Well, let's just stand. And let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. And Father, this is our prayer that we would do this week. We would just lift you up and praise you while we're doing everything that we do. We're driving the car, we're at school, we're on the campus playing, we're at home doing the dishes, we're mowing the lawn, we're painting, we're driving a truck, we're doing this or doing that. May it all be to glorify Jesus. And I pray, Lord, you bless us now as we're dismissed. For those people who would like to have special prayer, special needs met, we give them the opportunity, and I pray that you would bless us now in that, as some stay and as some go, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have a need and you'd like to be prayed for tonight, I'd encourage you to stay. I've developed a red blotch on my eyelid that's not very painful, but it hurts my pride, and beside that, I don't like it. I'm afraid of what it doing, and I'd like to be anointed with oil and have that removed tonight before your eyes. And I'd like to encourage you, if you want to have prayer, to come down to the front too. So you're dismissed to go home or to stay, whatever you like to do.